Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, the best-selling single of all time, in excess of 100 million copies. But ignorant college students who don't know anything except political correctness think White Christmas is an offense to people of color. And while AP has declared ISIS to be the top story of 2015, does the public really know anything about who created it? Who continues to fund ISIS? And the nation's drug czar calls the war on drugs
failed policies and failed practices in the past.
Are you saying that the way we have waged the war on drugs for more than 40 years has been all wrong?
It has been all wrong.
Yeah, who knew? All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
And may all your Christmases be white.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, the Islamic State conflict has been voted the top news story of 2015. And this is according to the Associated Press's annual poll of U.S. editors and news directors. In second place was the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that led to the legalization of same-sex marriage in all 50 states. But several of the other stories among the top 10 reflected the impact of the Islamic State and the public's growing concern with it. But Obama says, you know, the only reason why people are concerned with the Islamic State is because the media has saturated this story. It's not because terrorists are actually murdering people and threatening to attack the Western way of life. Chikari?
Thank you, Leanne. We have a report on the site today. Obama blames terrorism fears on media saturation. This is a article from Steve Watson. And basically, it outlines how after we've seen multiple terror attacks, not just domestically, but around the world, Charlie Hebdo, the most recent Paris attack, also here domestically with the San Bernardino tragedy, many Americans are taking terrorism fears very, very seriously. And Obama brought up these points during an NPR interview. And of course, we've seen the article recently about how Americans are more concerned about being killed by terrorists than they are about the economy or their own personal finances. And he brings up a few good points the president does, but the thing he left out, as he always leaves out, is how he continues to fund these radical terror cells, whether it's airdropping grenades to groups like ISIS, or it's giving training and weapons to groups like Al-Qaeda, blowing up hospitals, blowing up wedding parties, and then the people in those regions who see these things become radicalized out of fear for their own safety. He doesn't want to talk about any of that. He just wants to come out and tell you what you need to do, how you need to give up all your rights, let him do whatever he wants. Meanwhile, he's going to fund terrorist groups. He's going to fund drug cartels. And then when the buck stops here, he wants you to give up your rights here domestically. We talked about this a little bit earlier today, myself and David Knight, when the president was saying that in the time he has left, he wants to really push through some hard gun control. Of course, that's not going to be to the aforementioned groups that he continues to fund with his very illegal and unconstitutional orders, but he wants to use executive action to rob you of your Second Amendment rights here at home. But things are looking up because we've seen senators like Rand Paul come out and push forth legislation that's going to give the American people a better chance, not just the average citizen, but also sheriffs and police officers and federal agents who don't want to go through with any type of unconstitutional Second Amendment prohibiting bills. So things are looking up, and we'll have the opportunity to see what happens with that the Rand Paul legislation after the Christmas recess. Back to you, Leanne.
That's right. It is not radical Islam. It is just a bunch of white guys with guns that are the problem. Just like it's media saturation, it's not the fact that extremists are actually murdering people, threatening jihad against the West. And of course, Obama is clearly not worried because he goes to play golf after every single horrific event. Now, according to a source that spoke to a Norwegian newspaper, hundreds of ISIS jihadists have already slipped into Europe and they're preparing Paris-style attacks with hundreds more on the way. Now, this source, whose information has previously been proven accurate, told the newspaper that 300 jihadists were trained to carry out massacres in Europe. 28 of them lost their lives in Syria, but 272 have made it into Europe and have been instructed to lay low. Now, the second wave of jihadists, number 150, with 112 having already received training in the militant camp in Iraq before traveling to ISIS's stronghold in Syria, where they are waiting to cross into Europe as well. The first wave of terrorists have, according to this source, been completely brainwashed in preparation for martyrdom suicide attacks. Another set has been trained to plan attacks using handguns and suicide belts. Now, we've also pointed out, of course, how numerous jihadists, including some of the terrorists that were involved in the Paris terror attacks, have already exploited the refugee program, sneaking into Europe. But you know what? Don't worry. This is not a problem. The media is just trying to saturate this story into your minds to frighten everybody. Meanwhile, as we have pointed out numerous times, the media is actually covering up a lot of the stories in order to not create any kind of refugee bias, things like that, because they don't want to actually expose the terror organization's plans to exploit this refugee program in order to infiltrate jihadists into Europe. And of course, Obama doesn't want you to be upset about the fact that hundreds of thousands of refugees are also going to be coming to the United States.
You know, it's warm out here today, but guess what? It's a lot hotter in Syria right now. There's bombs everywhere. You got Donald Trump wanting to blow everything up and close down the borders. It's just craziness. Joe Biggs here with InfoWars.com. Now, today we've come out to South Congress in Austin, Texas, where we have a petition. Now, I am going to be playing liberal, where I represent the American Citizens for Refugee Placement. Now, the petition says this is a petition to bring unvetted refugees into the United States in complete and total defiance of Donald Trump. The United States is a beacon of hope for those in other countries, and housing these refugees is quintessentially American. Now, on this petition we have right here, it's going to be a name, an email, and a sponsor. Now, a sponsor means whether or not you would be willing to take in an unvetted refugee from Syria. Now, we already have Donald Trump coming out saying that, hey, man, we need to close it down. We need to look into this stuff. We need to find out we can vet these people. The FBI says they don't have the ability to vet them all.
We don't have the systems in place on the ground to collect the information to vet. That would be the concern.
Yes, I think that's the challenge we're all talking about, is that we can only query against that which we have collected.
It takes about 2 years for that whole process to be complete. And in that time, there's a possibility that somebody could exploit that refugee crisis and come in and carry out some kind of terrorist attack. So we're going to see how many Americans out here, how many Austinites think it's a good idea to bring in unvetted refugees. You know about all the Syrian refugees are over there, all the wars going on. Yeah. You got Donald Trump coming out saying, no, these guys are, yeah, you know, leave them over there.
Signing a petition.
Yeah, so we're trying to get Syrian refugees brought to America so we can house them. It's our American duty.
It's cool, man.
You want to sign it? Yeah, we'll sign and then it. Just put yes or no if you want to take some Syrian refugees yourself and help them out, like sponsor them.
That'd be cool.
You'll do it?
Yeah.
We're
refugees ourselves because we came from Sudan.
Oh, and that's with whether or not you let a Syrian refugee live at your house with you.
Oh, I don't have any room.
Well, they usually fit like 10 people in one bedroom apartments over there, so.
Okay.
So no?
No.
All right. What about you?
We're in San Francisco. There's no room for anybody there, but yeah.
But you're all about bringing them over, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, what's going on, man? You want to help out some Syrian refugees?
I'm good. I'm sorry.
It's your American duty, man.
I know.
Don't be like Donald Trump. Yeah, so, like, this is in defiance of Donald Trump. We wanted to make a point of that.
He's so obnoxious.
Yeah. He's got to tell her.
Yeah, he wants to close down the borders.
I know.
It's not hitting anything. So just because every brown person comes over here, they're a terrorist.
He's so nauseated.
It would never happen.
Yeah, it's not. There's not a chance any of these guys are going to be blowing stuff up. They just want a place to go.
I know. I feel so bad.
What are you guys thinking about for the president coming up? Who do you think is going to take it?
Oh, I hope Hillary. I pray she does.
And this is if whether or not you would allow Syrian refugees to come to your place.
My place, can't really, don't really have any extra room. Can't really take any in.
Housing these refugees is, you know, part of being American.
Trump.
You know, if we build a wall and we say no to the refugees, then we might as well tear down the Statue of Liberty.
I agree, man.
Well, as you can see, got a full clipboard here of signatures, people who want to open up the borders and allow these Syrian refugees to come in. Now, remember at the beginning I said, hey, there's a section here for sponsor, and that's to whether or not you would allow the Syrian refugees to come into your home and stay there. Now, out of this entire full clipboard I have, only one, two, three, four people said yes to actually housing them. Now, on top of that, I've got about 27 people who completely ignored me or said, hell no, they didn't want to get into an argument over it because they thought it was stupid to bring in unvetted Syrian refugees. Everybody on here pretty much hated Donald Trump, said he was a bigot, a racist, and pretty much the worst human being in the world. So that's what we're dealing with here in Austin. I think it's a good idea to vet them. I think it's a good idea to close down the borders and find out who it is that's coming into our country before we open up the floodgates and just allow anybody to come in. Tell us what you think in the comments below. Do you think we should open up the borders and let unvetted immigrants come in? Or should we have a better, stricter process of vetting them?
Well, Kurt Russell is now doubling down on his theory that gun control isn't going to stop terrorists. We already reported about how he called one journalist completely out of his mind for thinking that it would actually stop terrorism. But now during an interview with the Daily Beast, he was asked about that interview and Russell said, I just didn't get where he was going, saying that gun control was a magic wand of fixing the situation with terrorism. That isn't going to stop them from what they want to do. Gun control is not going to stop criminals from getting their hands on weapons. Just ask the Secret Service. Now, this happened on Monday. A Secret Service agent's gun, his badge, radio, handcuffs, and a flash drive were stolen in broad daylight near the agency's headquarters in Washington. Now, the agent's belongings were taken from his personal vehicle while it was parked on G Place in downtown Washington about 4 p.m. And some others inside the Secret Service, they expressed surprise that such a crime could take place so close to the law enforcement agency's headquarters in the middle of the afternoon. Oh my goodness, the thief must not have seen all of the signs, you know, that perhaps he shouldn't steal this gun. And I hope, of course, that this thief obeys DC's very strict gun laws and goes and gets a background check and registers his newly acquired firearm. Like we said, gun control is only there to stop law-abiding citizens from getting a gun to be able to protect themselves. Criminals will find a way. Now, GOP presidential hopeful Rand Paul is introducing legislation that's intended to block any effort by the incumbent president to enforce gun control by executive action. This is named the Separation of Powers, Restoration, and Second Amendment Protection Act. It would render any action on gun legislation by the president, which circumvents Congress, as advisory only in nature. And once an executive action has been classified as advisory only, it would require Congress to pass it in order for it to take effect. Now, in a statement released Monday, Paul said, in the United States, we do not have a king, but we do have a constitution. We also have the Second Amendment, and I will fight tooth and nail to protect it. So there you go. That is the kind of person we need in office. Rand Paul, keep going out there and kicking butt. Now, Ben Carson has weighed in on a controversy that erupted in the Christian community. This was in a brief conversation with Yahoo News on Monday. Yahoo asked him about this idea that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. And Carson said, let me put it this way. I believe there is only one God. Okay. Now, he was asked this question in response to an evangelical Christian school in Illinois announcing that one of its political science professors had been put on paid administrative leave. They wanted to give her a little bit more time to reflect on the implications of her recent public statements concerning Christianity and Islam. This teacher put a Facebook post saying that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. And she's also taken to wearing an Islamic headscarf on campus in what she describes as a gesture of embodied solidarity with Muslims. And now it's interesting that she's actually taking this stance with the headscarf. A little bit more on that in a moment. But it's also interesting how it's okay to talk about Christianity as long as you are pushing an agenda there in the mainstream media. Sort of like how it's Christmas, so the nativity story is, of course, being used to push for acceptance of Syrian refugees. This was CNN writer Jay Perini. He says that those who care about the practice of their faith keep Jesus front and center, which means focusing on his status as a refugee, comparable to today's immigrants. Now, it isn't charity when you are forcing people to do it. But back to this interesting take on wearing the hijab in solidarity. Now, this is a report is very interesting. I don't have time to get into the full article, but I highly recommend you look at it. It comes from two Muslim women, and they say, we actually ask you not to wear the hijab in the name of interfaith solidarity. And this article is pretty long, and they go down into the history of wearing the headscarf, and they break down that it's actually very recent history. And they talk about how they were born in the 60s. They were with open-minded families. They didn't have this rule that they had to cover their hair, but it was actually following the 1979 Iranian Revolution, and there was a rise of well-funded Saudi clerics from the majority Sunni sect who started bullying women in an attempt to get them to cover their hair from men and boys. And they go on to say that they want to challenge the hijab, saying that that it's an interpretation of Islam that they reject, that women are a sexual distraction to men who are just weak, and thus they must not be tempted by the sight of women's hair. They said, we don't buy it, and that the ideology promotes a social attitude that absolves men of sexually harassing women and puts the onus on the victim to protect herself by covering up. And so they tell all of those well-meaning women out there who are wanting to wear these headscarves in a show of solidarity to say, you know, don't support this ideology of political Islam that's actually being practiced by the mullahs or clerics of Iran and Saudi Arabia, the Taliban in Afghanistan, and the Islamic State. So that is a very interesting take. I know that we're always calling out so-called feminists here in America who don't seem to care about the oppression of women in other countries. So this was definitely a pretty interesting take. And of course, I will link the article below this video. Now stick around because we've got some very interesting news for you coming right up.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here late about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Well, if you like to sprinkle your holiday with a little bit of cheer, hold that thought, because you might be a racist. Now, students have signed a petition to ban the racist song White Christmas. That's right. White supremacy is everywhere. Now, these were American college students, and they signed a fictitious petition that was put on by a radio station. And they basically said that this song was an offense to all colored people in its insistence on white being associated with the good and the beautiful. So this was MRC TV reporter Dan Joseph, and he was using a lot of buzzwords, saying white supremacy is everywhere, even in your holiday songs, microaggressions, the need for a safe space away from this horribly offensive song. So this was pronounced several times, and of course, those buzzwords must have worked, because they were able to garner 18 signatures in just about an hour. And, you know, I've been out there doing these petitions myself. It's really not that hard to get people to sign petitions if you throw out those buzzwords. Just kind of reels them right in. But you know what? These students aren't going to have to worry about any Christmas, offensive Christmas snow, according to whatever weather channel you pay attention to. Now they're saying that it's going to be the warmest Christmas Eve on record. It'll be unfolding across the eastern U.S. And this is meteorologist Rob England. He said there's a high probability for record-setting warmth. And, you know, good luck on any hopes of that white Christmas happening on the east. Meanwhile, on other areas of the globe, they're experiencing extreme cold. Now, a Colorado weather station observed a record low of negative 51 degrees. This was just weeks after politicians met in Paris to combat global warming. And this radio station is located about 100 miles southwest of Denver. They said the temperature was the third lowest the station had recorded in over 50 years. And over the past month, there has been a large surge in Arctic ice growth. This was leading to the largest extent for the date since at least 2004, according to Climate Depot. And of course, this went on all throughout the Paris Climate Conference, where tens of thousands of criminals were meeting to decide how to go ahead and tax us in order to save the climate. They want to steal your money, your energy, security, and of course, your freedom. So politicians are, of course, deliberately rousing this fear of global warming even though there's evidence of extreme cold out there as well. And this is all in an effort to tax away climate change as if that would even be possible.
We know that global warming or climate change branded environmentalism is a hoax designed to wipe out underdeveloped countries' populations, tax Western populations into poverty, and help create a lasting one world government. What is also interesting is that within this hoax is another hoax, the carbon offset scam. Earlier this month concluded the Paris Climate Conference, the COP21. While virtual conferencing technology has been available for years, as well as many other innovative solutions to holding low emissions conferencing, the leaders and organizers of this conference still opted to pile into gas-guzzling, carbon-spewing vehicles and make the trek to Paris, France, in order to enjoy a few weeks of pampering and photo ops. How can the participants of the Paris conference who traveled by private luxury jets, ate at obnoxiously priced restaurants, and slept in luxury hotels possibly claim that this event, or any of their actions outside the conference, qualify as being carbon neutral? That's simple. They all purchased carbon offsets. Does paying this small fee transform a person from being an obvious hypocrite to a consciously clean savior of the planet? The answer, of course, is no. Carbon offsets are nothing more than another globalist racket designed to keep the global warming climate change hoax alive. According to carbonneutral.com, carbon offsetting is the use of carbon credits to enable businesses to compensate for their emissions, meet their carbon reduction goals, and support the move to a low-carbon economy. The explanation continues. Carbon offsetting delivers finance to essential renewable energy, forestry, and resource conservation projects which generate reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. In other words, it's a permission slip for corporate polluters and decadent elitists to pollute as they like. Unfortunately for the banksters, politicians, and celebrities who are involved in this con game, carbon offsets have been exposed and documented year after year as being a worthless scam. The trading system was first outlined in 1997 during the Kyoto Protocol. Today, the carbon offset market is not just infested with countless scams, hackers, and con artists, but the offset credits themselves are fraudulent, according to an article published January 30, 2015 by foreignpolicy.com, entitled, "The Hack That Warmed the World." Back in 2007, a Vatican cardinal stood before cameras and received a certificate declaring the Holy See the world's first carbon-neutral sovereign state. But not one tree of the Vatican climate forest was ever planted. In Africa, some reforestation projects have reportedly sold the same offsets to two or three different buyers. UK regulators announced in November 2013 that they had shut down 19 companies for using offset sales to scam investors out of some $38.7 million. This article discusses not only fraudulent carbon credits, but many different scams to hack into or rip off businesses and the naive public alike. Gov.uk issued a press release on September 25th, 2015, headlined, "Carbon Credit Company Director Hit with 15-Year Disqualification for Involving His Company in Investment Scam," which discusses Young Eremuse, the director of the London Carbon Credit Limited, who has been disqualified from selling carbon credits for 15 years for dishonest practices. And when there is fraud or a good scam, you know that the Clintons cannot be far behind. On his own website, Eremuse boasts that London Carbon Credit Company is pleased to announce that it will soon be able to offer its clients carbon credits from Bill Clinton's Clinton Climate Initiative, part of the Clinton Foundation. In August 2015, the BBC posted an article headlined, "Carbon Credits Undercut Climate Change Action," says report. It reads, "The vast majority of carbon credits generated by Russia and Ukraine did not represent cuts in emissions, according to a new study. The authors say that the offsets created under a UN scheme significantly undermined efforts to tackle climate change. The credits may have increased emissions by 60 million tons. A February 2010, Harper's Magazine cover story, Conning the Climate, covers in detail the entire process of the carbon offset trade, from CDM or Clean Development Mechanism, managed by the UN, the Goldman Sachs, Barclays, and Citibank's carbon trading desk, to the difficult and sometimes impossible procedure of carbon verification through the employment of UN carbon validators. The article reports that, as thousands of reductions are claimed worldwide, The projects already far outstrip the UN's ability to police them. Even the left-leaning The Atlantic magazine wrote an article in 2013, "The Forest Mafia, How Scammers Steal Millions Through Carbon Markets." Yet, while these failures are well known throughout the climate community, the climate crisis elite happily advances this racket without even a flinch, playing the part of world saviors, attending their lavish confabs, all the while using a well-established scam to behave like decadent royalty. So even though we are all well aware of the fact that the global warming climate change crisis is a hoax, it's instructive to observe how the globalists running this fraud delight in devouring their own. You can find more reports on InfoWars.com.
Well, stick around because right after the break, we're going to talk about the White House's stunning admission that the war on drugs has been an absolute failure. David Knight will be joining me in studio to break that down. And then we're also going to talk about Cy Hirsch's expose, the military actively going behind Obama's failed policy on the war in Syria.
The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel.
Yeah, Fed is a sometimes very independent organization.
What should be the proper relationship between the chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
The Federal Reserve is an independent agency. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
They print our money and then loan it to us at interest. The IRS is their collection agency.
So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Jeff Duncan says he saw IRS special agents using semi-automatic rifles at a gun range. Now he wants answers to why the agency needs that type of firepower.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge?
Know your history and you will know your enemy. InfoWars.com.
I'm not gonna sit here and take it anymore.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Well, the White House made a stunning admission this week. They actually admitted that a decades-old program, the War on Drugs, is an abject failure. Now, this is coming from the nation's top drug official. This is Michael Botticelli. He's the White House's Director of Office of National Drug Control Policy, and he went on CBS's 60 Minutes on Sunday proclaiming the war on drugs a failure and calling for reform and a refocus of the drug policy. Now, joining me in studio is David Knight. And David, this has been an issue that has been really a hot topic for you for decades, actually.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of how it has failed. And he talks about a little bit of the failure. Let's play this clip because they referred to him as a drug czar. And they said, that's not a title you like, is it? Let's hear what he had to say.
Michael Botticelli is the president's new drug czar. Just don't call him that.
It's actually a title that I don't like.
Why?
Because I think it connotes this old war on drug focus to the work that we do. It portrays that we are clinging to kind of failed policies and failed practices in the past.
Are you saying that the way we have waged the war on drugs for more than 40 years has been all wrong?
It has been all wrong.
So, Leanne, you heard him say that they're failed policies and failed practices. I would say when I look at this, I think it's doing precisely what it was designed to do. Now, he talks about some of the issues. He says it's given us a costly, bloated prison system, but also one that has failed to curtail Americans' drug habits. Right. Absolutely, it's had absolutely no effect over 41 years on drug abuse. But that's not its purpose, I think. And when we look at this, we have to say that not only has it not failed to keep people from getting addicted to drugs, not only has it given us a prison system where we've got more people incarcerated, many times more proportionally per population than we have in China or in Russia, these authoritarian regimes. We have more people than any society has ever put into prison. But it's got some other issues, too. Well, let me talk about the other problems of prohibition. Of course, we've got a corrupted law enforcement in the courts. If you're going to have a war on drugs, you need an army to fight that war. So we've got militarized police. We've got courts that ignore the rule of law, ignored our due process, came up with this fiction that they call civil asset forfeiture, where they don't have to charge you with a crime. They don't have to convict you without punishing you, taking your property. Instead, what they do is they charge the property with being an accessory to the crime.
Wow.
So we see the United States versus $5,000 of cash, or the United States versus a Learjet serial number such and such, not against a person because, wow, you know, cash and Learjets don't have any civil rights.
Right.
And they're ignoring our civil rights when they take our property. That kind of fiction is a product of prohibition. Of course, they're giving a lucrative monopoly to organized crime. And they're also, as a result of that, they're increasing the variety and the intensity of the drugs. We saw this happen with prohibition during alcohol, that the variety and the intensity of the alcohol, as well as the purity, had a lot of bathtub gin and things that would make people go blind when they use it. We see the same sort of thing happening now. We would not have the meth epidemic if it weren't for drug prohibition. Mm. And so all of these things are things that have come out of prohibition. But the fact that we even have somebody that we call the drug czar, that was a sign from the very beginning, this is going in the wrong direction.
Right.
We don't have czars in a free society. And as long as we have a czar in a free society, we're not going to be a free society. Interestingly enough, that term was first used in the media by Joe Biden in 1982, 6 years before they passed the law and Reagan signed it into law that created this office, the National Drug Control Policy Office that's part of the White House. And it was the first one was William Bennett under George H.W. Bush. So, you know, this has got a long history to it. Now, the interesting thing, too, about this guy is that he's someone who comes from a background of addiction. And so what he's doing is he's trying to push this towards a treatment issue as opposed to a law enforcement issue.
Right.
But he's taking it right up to the edge here because one of the conditions of this office that he's in control of is that by law, the drug czar must oppose any attempt to legalize drugs. Okay. He must oppose any study or any funding of a study that would show that there's a legitimate use of any of the drugs that are on Schedule One. How did these drugs get on Schedule One? And this is what the Republicans need to understand because by and large, they are the ones who are pushing this war on drugs. Republicans need to understand something that even though, Leanne, you point out, I've been against this for decades because I've seen what it's done to our law enforcement, to our courts, what it's done to me personally in terms of having to pay to incarcerate people for decades in prison for nonviolent crime. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like to see our country turned into what it's been turned into with this war on drugs. But something I didn't realize until just about 6 months ago was that this was a UN agenda, like UN Agenda 21. It was created by the UN along with these four drug schedules in 1961, 10 years before Richard Nixon declared a war on drugs in 1971 and put it out there along with these four schedules copied verbatim from the UN agenda. So conservatives need to understand this program was designed to fail from the very beginning. It was designed to create a militarized, centralized police force. It was designed to subvert the Bill of Rights and the Constitution from the very beginning, and that's precisely what it's done.
Wow, and that's incredible. And so what do you think about his take that, you know, we need to not obviously legalize marijuana? That's putting this wrong idea out there that it's safe, that it's okay. Meanwhile, you look at legalized prescription drugs, which are killing more people than heroin or cocaine or things like that. And these are, we're being given the impression that these are perfectly safe and they're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, you know, that's two things that he can't do, is he can't do any studies to attempt to legalize or show there's useful stuff with things that are in Schedule One. And when you're talking about prescription drugs and the FDA, they cannot, they have to resist any drug that's not been approved by the FDA. So, you see, we've taken a situation where we had freedom and decisions in our lives, and they have perverted it so that everything is prohibited unless expressly permitted by the FDA.
Right.
And now they're bringing in the other side of that, saying that since you have no control over the medicines that you take and what you do, you have no informed consent, essentially. Now they apply that to vaccines. See, it's the entire spectrum folds into this. You lose your due process of law. You corrupt law enforcement by turning them into thieves, literally highway robbers, taking people's cars or cash on the road without charging them with a crime or finding them guilty. And then you turn people into slaves of the pharmaceutical companies. And we know that there are so many people who die of pharmaceutical use, using it as advertised. You see Chris Christie come out and talk about how he wants a more compassionate approach, essentially saying the same thing this guy is talking about. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they're not going to get rid of the war on drugs. They're not going to get rid of the law enforcement aspect of it. They'll talk about that as being a problem, but they want their cake and they want to eat their cake and have it too. So they're going to keep that there.
Right.
At the same time, they want to add some additional government programs that will involve addiction treatment and that sort of thing. They have, with Obamacare, made everybody get coverage for addiction.
Right.
Again, it's a tax on me. I can control myself without law enforcement. I can control myself by not getting involved with this. I always have my entire life. I don't do drugs. I didn't do alcohol. I don't do marijuana. I don't any of this stuff. But I have to pay for people who are locked up in prison. I resent that. I resent the fact that I have to pay for an insurance policy that covers me for an addiction that I don't ever have to worry about doing because I'm not going to take it. So we come back to this complete government control.
Right. And, you know, not to mention that a lot of times that they're giving people like methadone or something to help them come off of drugs that people end up getting even more addicted to. Those drugs make it out to the street. Parents in their medicine cabinet. Their kids can get into the medicine cabinet and then take those things to school, sell them to school. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, it's just like sort of a dangerous precedent out there. What are we doing about that? Why is it a plant that's, you know, the number one thing putting people in prisons? And also, you know, this FDA thing, this government regulating agency saying what is okay and what's not okay. I mean, they okayed Vioxx, which of course had to be taken off the market for killing a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that right after they decided that, yes, indeed, glyphosate could be a possible carcinogen, the FDA went ahead and improved Dow Syngenta's version of the exact same thing with the Roundup Ready crops. So this is the governmental regulating agency that, of course, should be in control.
And of course, they have to maintain that marijuana has absolutely no legal use, prohibit any studies that would show that it does, because that would mean that it's not a Schedule One drug. They want to maintain that. It's interesting that this article that I'm looking at here summarizing the CBS 60 Minutes program, it's on ATTN.com. One of the things they have here, related article, marijuana could literally replace these five prescription drugs. Yeah, a lot more than that, but we're not allowed to know that. And I think a lot of what they're doing is really a face-saving effort to try to say, all right, we're going to liberalize things a little bit because they can be shut down at the state level. We've seen it now with three states shutting them down. They don't want that genie to get out of the bottle.
Wow. Well, that's incredibly interesting. I know you're going to be actually breaking this down even more tomorrow during the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. So be sure to tune in to that for this more explosive information. David Knight, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more InfoWars news.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, it's that time of year again when everybody is rushing out to do all of their last minute holiday shopping. And of course, this is also the perfect time to protest if you're part of the Black Lives Matter movement. And that is why the nation's largest mall, the Mall of America, is actually requesting a county judge bar Black Lives Matter from holding a demonstration inside the mall tomorrow. This is lawyers for the Mall of America have asked for a restraining order banning demonstrators from the private property. Any demonstrators defying that order will be arrested, and a letter was sent to protest leaders informing them of this action. So now they're basically saying this is a widely publicized event. They want it taken down off of Black Lives Matter's Facebook page. They say it's an unlawful demonstration that is set to take place on private property. Now, leaders of the movement are saying that this mall's ban is a restriction on their free speech, despite the fact, of course, that it's private property. And their argument is that The Mall of America is public property because the company who built it received tax breaks and other public subsidies when it was constructed. So, of course, that's a very interesting argument. But, of course, the Supreme Court ruled against that, specifically using the Mall of America as an example about 20 years ago. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that movement tomorrow. Now, Quartz is actually putting out an article talking about social movements actually being the end to war as we know it, talking about how governments might be replacing conventional warfare with social movements. They're citing President Obama's refusal to send boots on the ground to fight Islamic State in Syria, saying that the old methods of regime change are being rendered obsolete. Going forward, governments will increasingly rely on catalyzing contagious social protests to topple terrorist states and influence autocratic regimes. And they go on to point out how it's actually the Russian military who are the first to openly be discussing this shift in the art of war. They're saying that, you know, Russia believes that this is the social movements are a new U.S. and European approach to warfare that focuses on creating destabilizing revolutions in other states as a means of serving their security interests at low cost and with minimal casualties. Now, of course, we've seen similar accusations of this engineering of protests, of course, with the George Soros Foundation funding Black Lives Matter movements, with his Open Society Foundation. We've seen evidence of that in the Ukraine as well, with the Open Society Foundation, Gene Sharp's Albert Einstein Institute, and the Serbia-based Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies. So they're arguing that a turn towards social movement warfare could be a strategic response to the impracticality of direct confrontation, and that this could be sort of the new tool there with warfare. And of course, we have seen these engineered protests in the Arab Spring. And Kurt Nimmo reported about this earlier this week when Clinton was actually lying about Syria during the Democratic debate. And he pointed out how preparations for the Arab Spring began not as unrest, but it was prepared years before in seminar rooms in D.C. and New York and U.S. funded training facilities in Serbia and camps that were held in neighboring countries. And the AFP reported in 2011 how the State Department under Hillary Clinton sponsored efforts to help activists in Arab and other countries gain access to technology that would circumvent government firewalls, secure telephone, text, and voice messages, and prevent attacks on websites. And Michael Posner, who's the Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights and Labor, actually told reporters about how they were spending like $50 million assisting activists, helping to build this technology that would help them circumvent the government and help assist them so that they, if they were arrested or being attacked by an authoritarian regime, they could hit a sort of panic button on their phone that would immediately erase all of their contacts in the phone as well. So you see that encryption is very important when you're trying to overthrow somebody else's government. So we have seen how these social movements have been engineered to fit into toppling certain regimes. So, and this is also, of course, what we're seeing in Syria. Now, Clinton, during these debates, she said that Syria is exactly where it needs to be, the situation in Syria. And, you know, I beg to differ. So we're talking about these so-called moderate rebels rising up against Assad. And the president's policy is that Assad must leave office and that the moderate rebels in Syria have to be armed in order to defeat him. Well, now we're going to take a look at Pulitzer Prize-winning author Seymour Hersh's expose on the military's resistance to the president's policy. They don't want to fund Syrian moderate rebels, and they also say that this is just a figment of the administration's imagination.
Cy Hersh has revealed in his latest offering titled Military to Military that while Obama continued his campaign of lies regarding President Bashar al-Assad's tenuous hold on power, the Joint Chiefs of Staff were altering the playing field with shared intelligence. Pulitzer Prize winner Hersh has broken new ground once again, divulging a quiet alliance between Germany, Israel, and Russia of shared tactical intelligence in order to freeze the advance of al-Nusra and ISIS in the fall of 2011. 2013.
Do I think that our actions in any way violate the War Powers Resolution? The answer is no.
President Obama and then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's failed foreign policy aimed at toppling Gaddafi's Libya and Morsi's Egypt resulted in a power vacuum immediately filled with Islamic fundamental extremism. Obama's constant demand that Assad must go chaotically echoed the previous coups and, if accomplished, could give the Islamic State the upper hand in the region.
Do you know any major Arab ally that embraces ISIL?
I know major Arab allies who fund them.
General Dempsey and the Joint Chiefs of Staff decided that Obama's meddling in the Middle East had to be countered. The Joint Chiefs of Staff quietly shared intelligence with key allies in order to give Syria the tactical advantage. However, Syria had to agree to these four terms. Cy Hirsch writes, first, Assad must keep Hezbollah from attacking Israel. Second, he must renew negotiations with Israel on the Golan Heights. Third, he must accept Russian and other outside military advisors. And fourth, he must commit to holding open elections after the war with a wide range of factions. Assad essentially agreed to these conditions over time, and that led to major shifts in the war that are generally now known to the public. Meanwhile, the Obama administration was touting the narrative that an anti-Islamic State coalition with Russia would prove to be impossible and non-beneficial. However, by allying with Russian military, General Dempsey and the Joint Chiefs of Staff proved that not only was a coalition possible, the shared knowledge of the Islamic State between Russia and the United States would serve to weaken their advance into Syria. Russia had been fighting Islamic State leaders in the two Chechen wars that began in 1994, and they were very familiar with the ISIS leadership, while the U.S. had been training foreign fighters for years. This experience and a long-standing tradition of plying target information with massive sums of money would prove to be devastating to ISIS's leadership. And as the coalition quietly made progress, it became abundantly clear that the so-called Syrian moderate rebels Obama kept referring to were more of a fantasy than a reality. To this day, retired General Dempsey is perplexed by Obama's bold-faced lie that Turkey's Erdogan is a staunch ally with the United States in the fight against the Islamic State. Cy Hirsch writes, Dempsey and his associates remained mystified by Obama's continued public defense of Erdogan, given the American intelligence community's strong case against him and the evidence that Obama, in private, accepts that case. Hirsch wrote last spring, Obama said to Turkey's intelligence chief, we know what you're doing with the radicals in Syria. After Dempsey retired in September, General Dunford and an entirely new and obedient staff was installed to back up all of Obama's lies, as is evident by their communal hatred of Donald Trump. Cy Hirsch has presented nothing less than another testament to Obama's pitiful leadership of the U.S. military, built upon a pile of half-baked falsehoods, now proven with without a shadow of a doubt to be treasonous support for the Islamic State. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Well, that's it for the show tonight. If you're watching us on YouTube, be sure and hit the subscribe button. And you can also become a subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv. Your subscription there will get you instant access to over 18 years worth of content that you will not find on YouTube. And right now, you can get your subscription for half the price. You can also share this subscription, your password, with up to 20 people at the same time. So there you go. And of course, it helps this operation. Well, we will see you here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. and it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.